Welcome back to an Illinois High School Football Podcast. I'm John Stife, sports editor at the Northwest Herald. I'm here with Joe Stevenson, sports reporter at the Northwest Herald, talking with Steve Soucy, guru of all things polls, predictions, classifications. He knows everything. And Kyle Neighbors, he also knows quite a bit from the Kankakee area. Guys, I guess we're going to start again with the big boys, 8A. Steve, last week you were talking about the Big Four. How'd they fare, and what are your thoughts on them at this point?
Well, all 4-1, as expected, but the one that really kind of stood out to me was obviously that Loyola Maine South game that looked like it was an absolute doozy. Those people out there that want to kind of bury Maine South and say that their day has passed, apparently it has not. Even though Loyola won that game, the fact that Maine South was able to keep that where it was kind of a telling sign to me moving forward.
All right, and Homewood Flossmoor, it looked like they had two games that maybe weren't the best opponents the first couple weeks, but that's going to change this week when they go to Lincoln Way East. Any thoughts on that one?
Well, obviously that's a huge game in the construct of not only 8A, but all around the state. When you look at Homewood Flossmoor, they were rolling along last year, took that loss in the last regular season game of the year to Bolingbrook, but has established themselves as a stronghold of that conference, right along with Lincoln Way East, which has the added influx of players from where Lincoln Way North closed. A huge roster there with the Griffins, a very talented roster. My inclination is that I think Lincoln Way East will win that football game, but it would not surprise me if either one of those two teams came out of that. There's two excellent football teams playing one another so early in the season.
All right, and Brother Rice now, I believe they're 1-1. How'd they do?
No, Brother Rice won again this week. They beat Crete Moni in an absolute shootout. So they're 2-0, and I was going to mention that I think that they're just off the cusp of that Big Four. I mean, I was talking to somebody who was at that game, and they were on the Crete side, and they said, you know, we felt like we could score a little bit on them, and we did, but we could absolutely not figure out a way to stop them. And Brother Rice ended up putting 61 points on the board against a Crete Moni team that is very well regarded in the 6A ranks. So that's obviously a very good team that they have on the south side of Chicago as well.
And that was a really dumb comment on my part, because I know I had seen that ongoing, and there were a lot of highlights actually on Twitter from that game. I believe Crete was up 22-7 at one point, and then Brother Rice was able to take over. Anybody else maybe in 8A that we should be looking at?
Well, kind of outside of the Chicagoland area, they don't get a lot of press because of that fact, at least around here. Edwardsville is slowly putting together a pretty solid resume. They had a little bit more trouble with Rock Island on Friday than I anticipated that they would, but it'll be interesting to see as we get into their Southwestern Conference schedule, especially when they get that East St. Louis game, a powerhouse in 7, how exactly they might match up in this mix, because I've seen that Edwardsville program in the past. It's a very well-constructed program. I would expect that they've got some Division I caliber players, because they always seem to. So Edwardsville is a team that I would keep on my radar.
All right, and the one game, they're not in our coverage area, but they're closer to us physically than a lot of the schools that we actually cover, is Barrington. They're 2-0. They've got some real good players. BT Holly and Jackson Perkins, I believe, are both going to Navy, have committed to there. But they've got some real players, and they've got Maine South this week, and Barrington comes in at 2-0. Do you know anything about them?
I don't know a ton about Barrington, just in regards to what I'm used to seeing from that program. It's one of those teams that plays, and I don't want to say a lesser conference, but a conference maybe that's a rung or two down from some of the elite conferences, usually has a pretty strong record, and kind of makes them a wild card when they get into the playoff mix, because they maybe haven't played the strongest schedule that they possibly could in the mid-subs. So when you're looking at them and they're playing Maine South this week, an excellent measuring stick to see where Barrington might fall amongst the power teams in 8A.
And Joe, you got to see one of these teams firsthand with Huntley playing against Prairie Ridge. What were your thoughts on them?
I was very impressed again with Prairie Ridge, one of the best teams in 6A, getting to Huntley. The problem for the Red Raiders was that night they got down 17-0 before they got anything going on offense. They had a really nice catch and run by wide receiver Alec Koss, called back in the first half. That would have really helped and made it a tighter game. I still think Huntley is going to be a formidable 8A team by the end of the season. But yeah, you know, Prairie Ridge was able to slow them down pretty well the other night.
All right, and moving on to 7A, what are your thoughts there, Steve, as far as who's stood out so far?
Well, 7A, I mean, I feel like the top of the heap is obviously Mount Carmel, but just a micro step behind them, East St. Louis. I mean, they played in a showcase game series in the St. Louis area against Christian Brothers this weekend, and they're apparently in front of almost 10,000 people were watching that game, and it was a back and forth affair, and East St. Louis came out with that win. It's another big win for a team that, for all intents and purposes, had they not elected to play in 7A where they're playing, they might have found themselves as small as 5A based on not choosing to play up in 7A. This is a really good football team, and I'm interested to see what happens with them, like I said before, down the line when they play Edwardsville. But I think in their conference, they're going to roll through most of their games, and they're going to go into the playoffs with a record that that is more befitting than what happened to that program last year when a teacher strike wiped out nearly half of their season and kept them from going to the playoffs.
All right, and Kyle, Bradley Bourbonnais, where are they at? And they're one of those 7A teams that was ranked last week.
You know, I was looking at it earlier, and, you know, I think just last week we were talking about if we thought they could get to 5 wins, 6 wins. But the way things are shaping up, they're looking like a better team than we thought, and their schedule's looking earlier. They've had a quarterback emerge, a junior named Morion Burtis Jr., who is really getting it done with his arm, and particularly on the ground. But, you know, they go to Thornwood this week, who's 2-0, but is a 2-win team last year and has not really played anyone yet. And then you get over to week 5, which was looking like the first real test in Bolingbrook, and you know, Bolingbrook, they lose to Glenbard West in week 1, and that's not a big deal. You think, okay, that's a really good team they lost to. But then they come back and really struggle with Bishop McNamara. I mean, that was a game they really easily could have lost. And you start thinking, well, now you have a chance. Bradley has a chance in that game. They could be 5-0, 6-0. They could even be 7-0 going against Lincoln Way East in week 8.
All right, and one of the other teams that, again, not directly in our coverage area, but they're near it, and we've seen lots of them, is Libertyville. Joe, they don't have Riley Lees, but they came in and they had one of the better games again of the week and a 3-overtime win over Batavia. Both of them were ranked last week. That team, you've seen Libertyville recently, but it's mainly been Riley Lees that we focus on. I mean, they have other talented players though too, right? That you've seen?
Yeah, they do. And I saw them a couple years ago, and then Riley took them to the state championship game last year. And it's just a program that seems to have. Very good staying power.
All right, and thoughts on Jacobs? They started in the rankings. They fell out. They're 1-1 now. We didn't know a ton about them heading in. Any thoughts now, Joe?
Well, we thought Jacobs was going to be able to air it out with quarterback Chris Katrinik, who's going to Bowling Green, and be able to put up some points and some yards, and they've really struggled. It's, you know, Huntley shut them out, and last week they struggled again to score and get yards. Katrinik, I think, finished with 173 yards passing against Dundee Crown. So they still have some work to do to even make the playoffs, because as we've talked about before, the FVC is going to be – Fox Valley Conference is going to be very tough, and they still have to get to 5 wins. They're going to have to find a way to get some more offense going.
All right, Steve, in Wheaton North, what class are they in? They beat JCA, right?
Yeah, they're a 7A team. I mean, they're relatively close to the line, but I think it's safe to say that they're going to end up in 7. And once again, I think that's another step there, saying that, you know, maybe this Joliet Catholic team has a lot of work to do, and maybe not just a little, because Wheaton North really, really kind of knocked them out. Not to say that Wheaton North isn't a good team, because I think they are, but that's a nice win for Wheaton North in an easy fashion over a program that you're accustomed to seeing a lot more from. So that's the kind of team that I'm looking at, like in the bottom of 7A right now. That I'm declaring them right now. I'm declaring them kind of my sleeper there in that class. I think they might be able to make some noise.
Right, and they started the year with a win over Wheaton Warrenville South, and this week they have Naperville North ahead of them.
Yeah, so they pile up pretty good here at the beginning portion of their schedule. So That's good for them, but I mean they've got a loaded schedule for them to get two in the box already. That's a real good sign for them moving forward.
As we head to 6A, we have Prairie Ridge and Sacred Heart Griffin, two teams that we know are up there. We've got a lot of one-loss teams in Montini, Cary Grove, Crete, even St. Lawrence that look like they could be real good teams in this class. What are your thoughts on this?
It's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out in this class in particular because, I mean, you're accustomed to Montini not having maybe one regular season loss, but now they've got to go into a tough schedule where it'll be difficult for them to run the table even after having that one loss. So Sacred Heart's probably going to remain on the top of that class unless somehow Rochester gets them when they play because I can't see anyone else in their conference really challenging them. But in the middle there are a lot of teams that, to be honest with you, right now, I don't know a whole heck of a lot about. I was pretty convinced, and I still am, that St. Lawrence is a really good football team. But the only thing that the IC Catholic victory over St. Lawrence told me is that IC Catholic is really good. I don't really take it as a knock on St. Lawrence losing to them. I think, despite the fact that they're only a 3A, I think this IC Catholic team is really, really good. So I'm not going to penalize St. Lawrence for that loss there. Some teams that intrigue me in that class, somebody like DeKalb. I'm interested in what they're about at this point. They've been off to a pretty good start, and I think they might be a team to watch. And what appears to me, other than those top two or three teams, a really wide-open class.
All right, and we'll have Eddie on starting next week, Eddie and DeKalb, and he'll be talking about them a little bit more. A couple other teams that when I was looking through the rankings that were 2-0 that interested me were Rockford Boylan, who beat Auburn this week in a close game, and that was a big win for them. And they've got some talent up there, like I believe Noah Hickox is one of their better players. And Lamont is sitting at 2-0. Do you know much about either one of those teams, Steve?
For years, you could count on Rockford Boylan to just kind of run roughshod through the Northern Illinois. And in the last couple years, they have not quite been up to the standard that they've been before. So it's interesting to climb up to it. And my dog has some opinions about Rockford. So,
anyway, John, I think you may have had the score backwards. Did you say Boylan beat Auburn? They lost that game 14-7.
Did they really? I looked at Max Preps earlier, and it definitely had Boylan winning that game.
Well, at least the AP, how they fared, has a...
I believe the IHSA has Boylan winning that too, right? They did.
Well, Auburn was ranked. Boylan was not.
Agreed.
So Boylan won the game.
Okay.
So that's where the confusion may lie.
Well, there you go. Boylan did win. Joe, when you're looking at our area, and when I keep saying our area, I'm not explaining. McHenry County is, when I say our area to Joe, is what I mean. Prairie Ridge, Cary Grove, obviously the teams to watch in 6A, but you look at other teams. There are two opponents this week. Crystal Lake Central and Hampshire are 2-0 coming in. Are they teams that are good enough to be ranked?
I'm not sure they're good enough to be ranked yet, but I'm really intrigued by Crystal Lake Central, which overhauled its offense this year, brought in Dirk Stanger, who formerly coached at Marion Central as offensive coordinator. And they went from just run in the double wing to more of a spread look and one back and a lot of shotgun stuff. So, and seems to be working pretty well right now. They beat Crystal Lake South on Friday night. Crystal Lake South, I think, is a decent team. So we'll get a better read maybe on Central this week when it plays Prairie Ridge. Prairie Ridge is really good, but we'll see if Central can you know, kind of hang with Prairie Ridge a little bit. Then we might have a little better read on Crystal Lake Central.
Yeah, and I did watch Crystal Lake Central play this way this past week, and you know, I don't think that they're a team that's going to be able to go in and beat Prairie Ridge. They do have some talent. They played real close with Crystal Lake South the whole game, and then were able to make a couple plays at the end to beat them. So I think they're more of that level. They're one of the teams they're going to try to get into the playoffs with five or six wins. I think the same goes for Hampshire. It's going to be interesting again to see Hampshire's offense and what happens against the Cary Grove defense. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, that will be interesting. Jake Vincent, I was talking to somebody that I know. He's completed almost 75% of his passes And this is a guy that's getting some Division I looks, doesn't have an offer yet. But if he keeps this up, he may be getting one here soon. But he's looked really good so far, and they can really throw it. They just air it out the whole time, so it gives teams something a little different to look at. But he's played very well right now, and that's a concern when you got a guy that can throw it like that.
All right, and we move on to 5A now. Everything starts with Nazareth there. Who beyond them, and I think Peoria Central was up there in the rankings. Who else, Steve, should we look at?
Well, the team that I'm kind of checking into now, because I honestly just don't know that much about them, is Sterling. They're off to a really nice start. They were kind of at the bottom of the rankings to start. Things have climbed up the rankings a little bit. We'll probably climb a couple of more spots this week with the losses around them in Class 5A. So I don't know a lot about them at this point. They are typically not the team to look for out of that conference. So it'll be interesting to see if there's a change in the guard there, because so far they've been off to a real nice start. So I'm kind of checking into them, trying to find out what they're all about, because that definitely looks like a team that might be able to make some waves.
And we've seen Sterling over the years come in the playoffs to McHenry County and not fare well. They lost to Woodstock North at a game I was at maybe 3 years ago. They played Marion, I want to say 2 years ago or maybe last year. And, you know, they've had good records, but they, you know, when they play teams in, I guess, the ESCC or places that are maybe more competitive, they've had some struggles in the playoffs. You know, those weren't really close games. And Joe Marion's a team that we've seen two wins, but now it really starts, the gauntlet starts for them. They play Bennett, then they have Marist, they have JCA. Those are the next 3 weeks for them.
Yeah, Marion 91-0 right now, so no resistance at all from its first two opponents. And you're right, it'll be interesting to see how we'll get a better read on the Hurricanes in the next few weeks here for sure.
And
were they ranked sixth last week?
Yeah, I feel like they were either five or six.
I think they're ranked sixth. And a lot of that's, you know, on tradition. They've traditionally been really good, made a lot of quarterfinals and stuff, and people consider that. And you know, if they get a couple more wins these next couple weeks, they'll really have earned that six.
Steve, Morris is a team I brought up earlier to you. They're 2-0 now. Any thoughts on them?
Yeah, obviously they're another one of those teams that you're used to hearing in the mix. You go back 5-10 years, and Morris football was always right in the mix in the middle of whatever class they were going to end up in. But this year they are off to a nice start. That was a nice win for them over a well-regarded Washington team on Friday night. So when it comes right down to it, I mean, you can't take anything from the week one game against Chicago Austin. But this one you can take a little bit more stock in. So basically now you have to consider them, especially for, you know, somewhere in the middle of the poll right now, based just solely on that win.
All right. And as we move to 4A here, Altoff Catholic still 2-0 this week. They get Breeze Modern Day, who's also 2-0. Any thoughts on where those teams fall? Rochester, of course, 2-0 as well.
Well, I mean, I look at 4A, and I still look at it as, even though Breeze Modern Day is ranked ahead of them right now, I still look at it as a three-horse race with Belleville Altoff, who beat a pretty good team out of Jefferson City, Missouri on Saturday. And then you follow that up with, you know, Phillips, despite that loss to Fenwick, and now Fenwick is proving itself as being a really legitimate threat of their own. So you can't discount Phillips. They're extraordinarily talented. And then Rochester, I think those are the three. And then I think Breeze Modern Day is on the fringe there, so it'll be interesting to see, you know, what happens with them in upcoming weeks. They don't quite typically play the schedule that those other three schools play, and that's why I'm kind of on the fence on them almost all the time and regarding them as elite. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with them in some of their more, you know, predominant games coming down here. So playing Altoff this week is obviously a huge game in the landscape of 4A, because after they play Altoff, their schedule weakens out quite a bit. So they won't have a lot of opportunities to really show themselves from here on out.
Geneseo has started 2-0 again. They, you know, they're way out there for a lot of people, so they don't play a lot of the schools that we know. But I know that they're a good team. I saw them play against Phillips last year, and actually, you know, they played decent for a half, and then Phillips was able to pull away, and they did that against a lot of teams. Joe Johnsburg's 2-0. You're going to be watching them play, I believe it's at Richmond Burton on Friday night. Thoughts on them?
I think they're right about where I thought they would be right now. 46-21, they win at Rochelle and just took care of business the other night. Alex Pete with a huge game, 18 carries, 248, and I think he had two runs of 66 yards and 70 yards, a terrific back, and I fully expect them to be right there in the mix and in the talk. Richmond might be able to push them Friday night. I don't know who else on their schedule is really going to push them during the regular season. I think they're going to go through at 9-0.
Speaking of that, Marengo 2-0. They were a semifinalist last year. We're starting to know more about them.
Yeah, a big win. I mean, margin-wise, 38-7, they beat Elmwood Park, and Jaron Jackson had a big night for them the other night. You know, they lost so much to graduation last year. I think if Marengo can come back this year and get to 5 or 6 wins and get back to the playoffs, I think it's a great step for that program. Last year at 12-1, but that was the first time the Indians have been to the playoffs since 2004. It was a really feel-good story around our area here. And so, you know, if they can come back and get back into the playoffs, I think that's a great step for that program to stay up there.
And I forgot to pause for this earlier, but now we're going to take a minute and talk to Kristen Sharp about both Plano and Oswego East. Kristen, we were talking about the 4A teams, and Plano, of course, is part of that conversation every week. They're at 1-1 right now, have Hersher coming up. What did we learn from them in week 2?
I think we saw, you know, the same thing that they were able to put through with Johnsburg, but this time it was effective. You know, they played, you know, a team that isn't as strong, so they were able to really make the most of that first half, really showcase what they were able to do. 5 touchdowns in their first 5 possessions, so they really were making themselves a little bit of redemption after week 1.
And when you're talking about the 4A teams, a lot of the times it comes down to you have, you know, 4 or 5 playmakers out there, and they're the ones that are going to lead you. And a name I keep hearing is Izzy Adiodi. Did I say that right?
Yes.
He scored in week 2.
He did. He had 3 touchdown receptions from Tyler Ward, 4 catches in all for 100 yards. So he had another great week.
Any thoughts on them playing Hersher this week? I know Kyle Neighbors, who Hersher is local for them, says this is a team that is surprising, and it's probably more of a challenge than maybe we thought.
Impressive is the fact that Hersher has scored 111 points in their first 2 weeks alone, and they've only given up 6. So with the points that Plano has put up, it's going to be a really interesting mix to see just how good Hersher's offense looks against Plano, and if they're able to, you know, keep those numbers up, and whether Plano is going to be able to break through the goal line against Hersher, and, you know, a team that's only given up those 6. So it's really going to be an interesting combination. And Hersher was not in the large division last year, I don't believe. So this is actually a conference game for them, which is a little bit unique for Plano as well, opening up on the road at Hersher. So it'd be one to watch for sure in 4A.
We'll skip over to 8A now. We talk a lot about 8A. There's obviously a ton of really good teams in there. Oswego East, one of them. What'd they do in week 2?
Oswego East, they picked up a 48-14 win over Romeoville in their home opener at Oswego East. So that was you know, another big win for Oswego East after, you know, picking up that week 1 win over Joliet West.
And this week they have they're the favorite in their game, I hear.
For sure, yes. They are going to host Joliet Central, a team that is joining the conference this year but has had some struggles on the football side of things.
And Oswego is another team there that had a lot of success last year. They're 2-0 to start the year this year. What do you know about them?
They're interesting. You know, after seeing, you know, quarterback like Stephen Frank, who's now playing at Florida Atlantic, you know, they were a very heavy offensive team the last few years. They were putting up a lot of points on the board. But through and through, Oswego's history is in their defense, and we're seeing that this year with the changeover and the graduation. They really have an impressive defense. I think their defense is better than average right now. They have only allowed 6 points, and that's after shutting out Plainfield North. I was really impressed. I was at the game with the way they looked against Plainfield North. That's a team that ended a 33-game conference win streak last year, so Oswego remembered that for sure. And, you know, being able to win 12-0 at home against Plainfield North, their defense looked phenomenal. They had 3 interceptions, a fumble recovery, and, you know, they've got a lot of weapons on the defensive end. They're keeping them in the games for sure.
And now they get a team that Oswego East already saw in Joliet West, a team with some talent, some speed. Any thoughts on that game?
This is going to be different than what Oswego East saw in week one. I don't think Joliet West was quite prepared, you know, looking at how that game wrapped up. I think they wish they would have done some things different against Oswego East. They won this week, so Joliet West is 1-1. And I think that Oswego is going to have, you know, a different challenge than what Oswego East was posed. Oswego does not like to play in the daylight. They typically opt for Friday night games. They have not played in the sun in, I would say, several years. I don't recall ever covering a day game from Oswego. So it'll be interesting to shift their day-to-day schedule, you know, the player preparation, that kind of thing, going to Joliet West and seeing, you know, some of the talent that they have over there. That'll be an interesting game on Saturday afternoon.
And fill me in on why that occurs. Are there not lights at Joliet West?
They, you know, I'm not sure. Joliet West is new in the conference, so I haven't seen them. From what I heard, you know, they kind of go both. I think they played their week one game was against Oswego East on Friday night, but now they've got this game against Oswego on Saturday afternoon. So they do play both Friday night and Saturday on their home games.
Cool. And thanks again for checking in. We'll talk to you again next week.
Great. Thank you.
Steve, Coal City is 2-0. I looked them up, and I know they were a playoff team last year. Any thoughts on them or any of the other 2-0 teams? Like, I think Columbia was right near the rankings, and they're 2-0 too.
I think Coal City is still in the do not know exactly what we have yet, Ben. A young and inexperienced Reed Custer team in week one and kind of had to scratch and claw to beat Lyle last week. So I wouldn't put them right at the upper echelons of the I-8 large division. I still think that's reserved for Plano, possibly for Mantino, if they can kind of right their ship. They have not been off to the start that I expected them to be. I had a lot of trouble last week with Wilmington, but that can be said for just about anybody who runs into Wilmington. So when it comes right down to it, you're looking at you know, a football team in Coal City that historically always seems to figure out a way to get themselves into the playoffs, and then once they get there, figure out a way to get a win or two. I still don't know what this group is, so I think that's possible for them again this year. I don't think there's a deep run in store for Coal City, to be honest with you, but that's the I-8, I think, is really deep this year on the large side, not at all on the small side, so it should be interesting to see the boxing matches that come up in upcoming weeks in the I-8 large.
3A is something that was mentioned earlier with IC Catholic. Kyle, what are your thoughts on them? And I know you guys have Bishop Mack that are 3A too.
Yeah, along with Wilmington's actually in 3A. You know, right now I think IC Catholic is by far the class of the class 3A. That win over St. Lawrence is really impressive. That's a really, really good St. Lawrence team that they just beat. You know, went up 3 classes to do it. But, you know, Wilmington is going to be right there. It should be interesting when we get playoff time because you look at this the way this bracket's going to set up, and I would be surprised not to see these two teams meet in the playoffs. Wilmington is, you know, as big as usual. They run the ball. They're hard-nosed. They have a great running back in Owen Weaver, who's already got about 360 yards on the year and just runs through everyone. I mean, they played a good Mantino last week and absolutely shut them down. They've forced 9 turnovers through 2 games already, and after that Mantino game, I'm not sure there's anyone on their schedule that's going to stop them in the regular season. And Mac, Bishop McNamara, I don't know how they did it. I don't know if maybe Bolingbrook was just much more overrated than we expected heading into the season, but that was a game that I didn't think would be within four scores, and you know they had a lead in the fourth quarter there before falling in overtime. They still have a lot of injury issues, but it's hard to count that program out after seeing them at least go up to an 8A school and compete. So we'll see if they can get healthy enough with their schedule to get to five wins, but that's still a team you probably don't want in.
Steve, any thoughts on 3A?
Yeah, it's becoming kind of a strange class when you look at it. A lot of teams that you thought were going to be off to a better start, and they all seem to be picking up losses here and there. I'll admit to knowing very little about Newton or Pena. Both of those teams, I think, are in the top five right now almost by default because your traditional powers, your St. Joe Ogdens, your Tolono Unities, teams of that ilk, I mean, have all taken losses here in the early going. So, I mean, it's one of those things where you look at the top, you've got three teams in IC Catholic, Wilmington, and Monticello that I think are probably the cream of the crop, and then you've got maybe a step down with Newton, Pena, possibly Byron, and then Williamsville, a team that isn't ranked yet but probably should be, especially after they beat the number one team in 2A last week in Auburn. So, I mean, it's a jumbled class, there's no doubt about it, but just based on what we've been able to ascertain from the first 2 weeks of the season, I think IC Catholic is head and shoulders above the rest of the group, but I'd be real interested to see an IC Catholic Wilmington game. Unfortunately, the way bracketing goes, that game wouldn't be in a state championship game. It would be in some sort of either North semifinal or quarterfinal game, which would just not be nice at all, in my opinion.
You know, and another team down in our area that we haven't talked about yet in 3A that's off to a 2-0 start. They've scored about 110 points in two games is Hersher. Really, really good spread offense. Like what they're doing with their quarterback and Tyler Jones. They're running a lot of read option, moving the ball really well. They haven't played anyone great yet. They beat Moments and Clifton Central in landslides. You know, we'll find out a lot more about them this week against Plano, though.
And after Joe last week failed us, and the only thing he knew about Byron was the twin towers of nuclear power, I looked up a little bit more. I had the box score sitting in front of me earlier. They beat Rockford Lutheran. Yeah, I know that doesn't mean what it did before. This is Lutheran now has two losses, so they're at the same place that I think that equals the number of regular season losses they had the past 2 years. Jay Taft wrote that. Yeah, I'll acknowledge I read his story, and he seemed to be pretty impressed with that Byron team. So they beat Lutheran. They did it a little bit better than Genoa Kingston, which beat Lutheran by 1 point the week before. So Byron is definitely a team to watch out for. They're obviously not going to be, of the competitiveness of an IC Catholic, but they're –
They actually came, they came down in the playoffs last year, I think the second week, and actually beat Wilmington at Wilmington, which is not an easy thing to do. And then, they ran into the buzzsaw that was Bishop McNamara. But I was really impressed with that team, what I saw of them last year in two playoff games.
And they seem to be at least some of that again, if not all of that. Steve, any thoughts on 2A or 1A?
Right now, I mean, once again, it's still kind of sifting its way out. I mean, like I mentioned before, the 2A number one team, lost its game last week, so there'll be a new number one in that class, and 1A right now is just an absolute hodgepodge. It looks like there's as many as 14 or 15 teams that I think could make a legitimate claim at being a top three or four team. So a lot of top heavy in 1A. They've got a lot of really good teams and a lot of really poor teams, so you're going to get some wild scores in 1A most weeks because the level of competition is not matching up in a lot of areas. You've got a lot of teams that are capable of winning all their games, playing teams that will be lucky to get more than one or two.
All right, and to finish up this week, rather than me stumbling all over myself, we decided to everybody pick a game of the week from their area, talk a little bit about that. We'll start with you, Kyle. What game should we watch?
Yeah, I mentioned it a few minutes ago, but that Plano-Hersher game is really interesting. Plano obviously has been a pretty good power these last few years, and despite the loss of Johnsburg in week one, they still look like they have a lot going, and I think you could see a lot of points on the scoreboard between them and Hersher this week. I mean, you're talking, don't be surprised to see, 80 points between the two. Should be a lot of fun. We'll find out where the power lies in the Interstate 8 large this week.
Joe, what game should we watch?
I'm going to go with Bennett Academy at Marion Central. Bennett was a quarterfinal team in 7A last year, is 1-1 with a loss to St. Lawrence, who Kyle and Steve were talking about is a strong team in 7A, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And,
I'm sorry, 6.
6A, I'm sorry. And, you know, so Bennett lost to St. Lawrence and then beat Niles Notre Dame last week. And, you know, like we talked about, Marion's outscored its two opponents 91-0. So we need to know a little bit more about what the Hurricanes are about, and this will be a great test for them. So that's my game.
And Coach Mike Maloney said specifically that, and our reporter wrote about that from the game, was, you know, those mistakes you made today, you can't do that next week against Bennett or the next 3 weeks. They have Bennett, Marist, and then JCA coming up. And Steve, any game statewide that we should pay attention to?
We talked about it a little bit earlier. I'm interested in the Belleville Alltop Breeze Modern Day game simply because I think it will define how good Alltop really is. If that's a close football game, or even if they were to lose it, I think that would make the 4A class, I think, even more bunched than it is now. But if they really put a statement win on Breeze Modern Day, I think you might be looking at the favorite in the class.
And I had planned on saying right now Maine South at Barrington, but I happened to mention earlier that game. That's obviously one I'm going to be paying attention to. But, Steve, Loyola at Mount Carmel, that's a game this week, right?
Yeah, it is, and that's another one. I always give pause because it seems like every week the Chicago Catholic League provides a game that could be classified as the game of the week for the state. So I like to branch out a little bit, but that's definitely one that, if I had to make a list of five, it would definitely be on there.
Awesome, and we'll be back next week. Thanks for listening.